For the last 6 weeks, each Sunday, we've been reading from the letters of St. Paul to Timothy. And today we come to the last of these sections, what is often referred to as being Paul's last will and testament. He's writing this from prison, and he knows he's about to be taken to Rome, where he will be executed. And so he's writing to Timothy to finally encourage him, to make sure he doesn't get scandalized by this, that now it's Timothy's turn to keep going. And so Paul wants to strengthen him. He writes some of the most beautiful lines we have in sacred scripture. He says, "I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What beautiful words, and what a beautiful thing it is that Paul, at the end of his life, has that kind of surety about his relationship with Jesus. It's not even so much that he's bragging about himself as he is trying to reassure Timothy. Timothy might be tempted to despair, to think it's all over. He knows Paul is going to die. It looks like Paul's ministry is not going to bear as much fruit, that it's been cut short, that the enemies of God have won. And Paul says, "No, no, no, this is great. I've done everything Jesus wanted me to do. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Don't worry, Timothy. I'm going to be fine." And I love the fact that Paul, in the face of everything that has happened to him, and he describes it, "I've been beaten with rods. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned and left for dead multiple times." In the face of all that, he still says to Timothy, "Don't worry. The Lord stood by me. He gave me strength so that through me the proclamation might be completed. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth, and he will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom." If we were to look on the surface to say, "Paul, what do you mean you were rescued and saved? Look at all the bad things that happened. Every time you tried to preach the gospel, well, you made some converts, but most people tried to kill you." I love Paul's descriptions. They go to a town and they beat him and stone him and kick him out, and they think he's dead. And as soon as he wakes up and they find out, "Hey, I'm not dead," the Spirit tells him, "Go back to that town." He's like, "I got to go back. I don't think I did it right. I want to preach more there." And his companions are like, "Paul, you are crazy. They just tried to kill you and they almost succeeded, and you want to go back." Paul was not afraid of the opposition that naturally came with the preaching of the gospel. In fact, he's reassuring Timothy to say, "Look at all that opposition. So what that I'm beaten and stoned, and it didn't affect the preaching of the gospel. It made it better. In fact, that's how I know I'm doing the right thing. Of course there's opposition, but that's good. So don't fear, Timothy. Have courage." I love that kind of clean conscience that Paul has at the end of his life. This is the expectedness then when the gospel was preached. The early Christians knew that if they were going to preach the gospel, it was not going to go well with everybody. Think about Jesus preached the gospel and did it better than anybody, and at least half of the people wanted to kill Jesus most of the time. When Paul preached, all these bad things happened. I think how sad it is then for us today that we almost expect nothing to happen when the gospel is preached. In fact, sometimes we hope that things don't get too out of hand, that when the gospel is preached, that nothing really has to change. Paul knew the great power of the gospel, both to make converts and bring people to eternal life, and to upset the status quo of society. I think today we sadly have lost a little bit of the expectation of the power of the gospel. The preaching of the good news of Jesus, as much as then so today, should disrupt society, the status quo. It shouldn't be a message that just easily fits in with the way society is, especially when society is not headed in the right direction, as in so many ways is the case with our society. You might have seen these last couple weeks that I guess every day more of these emails from WikiLeaks are coming out. I haven't, of course, followed all of this, and who can? But I was kind of curious to see that apparently some of these emails referred directly to Catholics and give us an insight into what some of the most powerful political people of today think about us Catholics. Now, not surprisingly, it doesn't necessarily even bother me that we find out that a lot of them have bigoted, hateful, anti-Catholic sentiment towards us. They don't understand us. They don't like us. Fine. Paul met that. That was the same with every Roman emperor they ever met, from Herod the king until the latest Roman emperor. The fact that people in power would not like Catholics is really not something for us to get so upset about. It certainly didn't upset St. Paul. But there was something in this leaks of emails that did actually really upset me. There was a quote from one of the high-level political officials who was referring to a little bewilderment about the fact that apparently a lot of well-respected people are Catholic. And they're wondering, how can this be? And the answer that this official came up with was, quote, "Well, I imagine that they think that the Catholic Church is really the most socially acceptable of the political conservative religions. After all, what would their rich friends think if they became evangelical?" Now, that really kind of irked me and set me off. And here's why. Because these people think when they look at Catholics that, well, they must be doing this because it's the most socially acceptable religion. No one in the early church would ever think that Christianity would ever be called socially acceptable. It's almost a badge of disgrace today to think that the Catholic Church would just fit in so well with society, that we've compromised in so many things, that the Catholic Church can just be considered a socially acceptable little club that people can kind of join and it's nice. It's not the power of the gospel. The word in Greek that's used constantly throughout the New Testament to describe the Christian message is dunamis in Greek. It means power, but it's also the word from which we get the word dynamite. When Christians go around, we shouldn't fit in and be socially acceptable. Things should explode when Catholics go about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. We're not fit in kind of people. We're stir things up kind of people, set the world on fire kind of people. So I thought, how sad that the outside opinion looking in at the Catholic Church is it's just kind of a little club that is socially acceptable for people that kind of want to be a little bit religious and have some place to fit in. It's not how St. Paul would have seen it. It's certainly not what he's telling Timothy. It's not acceptable for us today to think that that's what our church has become. Rather, we should expect big things to happen when the gospel is proclaimed and when we live the Catholic life. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be great. We're not called to go with the flow of society. We're called to build the society. So what do we do about this then? Well, I love the fact that today is also the feast day of St. John Paul II. And I'd like for a moment maybe to speak just to the youth here, especially young people. John Paul II had such a love for young people because he saw the potential for them to truly change the world. If anyone is willing to not go with the flow, it's our young people. They're willing, if they see something true, you're willing to change your whole life to follow God. You encounter Jesus in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, on a retreat, in a great night of praise. And you say, that's real. I need to change my life to follow Jesus. I think that's our hope for changing society. I remember John Paul II's message very well when I was a young person. He became Pope, and 38 years ago today, appeared in St. Peter's Square, and he told us, be not afraid. And that rang so much with me. Because all around, I saw Catholics that were afraid. Catholics that were willing to compromise here and compromise there so that we could get along. Young people are called to much greater than that. All of us are. To be not afraid. To open wide the doors of Christ. And then go where he calls us. No matter what might happen. So young people, if you hear God calling you to be great, to go against the flow, to say, I see what everybody else is doing, but I'm not going to do that. Great people do not just go with the flow. They swim against the current. And especially in our society today, where things are going so much the wrong direction, who will there be to stand up and say, not me. I'll be St. Paul. I don't care. You can beat me up, call me names, kick me out of your cool kids club, not sit with me at lunch, not play with me on the playground, whatever you want to do, fine. I'm going to be something great, and that means I got to be different than the rest of society. That's the greatness that John Paul calls young people especially to, and all of us. We don't need Catholics today who are just lukewarm socially acceptable Catholics. In the face of everything that's going on today, we see that we've got Catholics that indeed live this out where, yes, I'm Catholic, but I believe all these other anti-Catholic things. Yes, I'm Catholic, but I'm also pro-abortion. Yes, I'm Catholic, but I'm pro-euthanasia. Yes, I'm Catholic, but. We have a bunch of Catholic buts. We don't need any more Catholic buts. We need radical St. Paul kind of Catholics. If you're going to be Catholic, be that. Don't be a Catholic butt. I say this only because I think so much today, society wants to keep us just kind of under wraps. Everything is just all nice. You Catholics can be Catholic in your churches and, you know, kind of tone it down when you come in. And, you know, as we see on TV all the time, the Catholic politicians, well, sure, I've got my Catholic faith, but I'll be 100% loyal to a political party while I compromise my Catholic faith. We can't do that. We not only sell ourselves out, we sell out the whole church, our whole mission. St. Paul knew that. It would be easy for St. Paul to say, well, I can't go stir it up too much. I might get killed. And then who will preach the gospel? I got to stay alive because, you know, I can't preach if I'm dead. Paul could have rationalized that and it would have weakened his whole message. He didn't do it. He said, no, I'm going to do exactly what Jesus wants me to do. Come what may, I'm going to be a bold, bold preacher of the gospel. So I don't know what this looks like for you. One thing I know is that if we look at society as a whole, we just get depressed. We look at our country, we look at the political candidates, and we're like, how on earth did we get here? Where is the country going? It would be very easy to just get depressed. But I encourage you, that is part of the devil's trick. To just keep us focused on the big picture so much that we just fret and get depressed and never do the things that will actually matter. Like, we can't change the whole government. We can't certainly change it by who we elect. It's not going to make that big of a difference. What will make a difference, the thing we can actually do, is in our own families. For one family at a time to say, all right, where are we compromising? Where are we just going with the flow of society? How do we, maybe we don't give in on these big things, but maybe little things. We're not willing to stick out, to be different than everybody else. I encourage you to pray about that in your family. There's where you can make a difference. So tonight we hear St. Paul talking to Timothy, encouraging him. I would hope that his words would also encourage us. Don't be afraid of the dunamis, the power of the gospel. It's going to get messy. Yes, things will explode all over. There's not going to be nice conversations at dinner tables. It's not going to be comfortable in public. It's going to be hard to just go along. Okay, fine. That's the way God wants it. Be ready for it. That's part of the call of our baptism, our confirmation. We've got everything we need to go out and do it. So tonight, sure, we rejoice that we're part of this great group. But let's not let it become a socially acceptable little club. It's too easy. It's too comfortable. You're not made for comfort. You're made for greatness. So Paul calls us to greatness tonight. I pray that you would do that. That at the end of your life, sure, maybe it's been hard. You've been beaten up. You leave this life and you're just barely limping to the finish line. But by golly, you did it. You competed well. You kept the faith. You ran the race. That's it. That's the answer. You get to the end of this life. We're not supposed to be in pristine condition, rested up, and nicely accepted by everyone. If everyone at the moment you die says, gosh, he was loved by everyone, you did it wrong. There's got to be some people out there that your life affected so much that it pushed them, and you created so much tension that dynamite went off and exploded. Be that person. If you do that, you get to the end of your life, you'll have nothing to regret. You'll be able to say with St. Paul at the end of your life, yes, I'm bloodied, I'm beat up, and I'm lying dead on the field, but by golly, I did it. I ran the race. I competed well. I kept the faith.